Hi, Dirk and Mark.
Hi, sorry, I'm late.
Hello, everyone.
Okay, so Don isn't here yet, so we'll wait a little bit. I just printed out both of your benchmarking of the Graham Richardson so that we can go over those. And I've got my notes as well. Once Don comes on the call, what we're going to be doing is first we're going to go over any questions that you may have with regards to the material that we've covered so far, maybe a coaching session that you've had that didn't go as you'd liked and you would like to review it, and then we're going to go through the benchmarking. So, Mark, looks like you've been busy.
Looks like what?
It looks like you've been busy.
Always.
I saw a lot of posts.
Just depends what I'm busy doing. Yes, I did some posts today. I locked out 2 hours. 2 hours this morning before the call to make sure I was okay.
So let me just grab a my earphones because I think you'll be able to hear me better. Okay, so so let's get started, and then when Don joins us, then we'll ask her how she's been doing. So first, like, let's do a check-in, how you've been doing with everything, how your coaching is going, what went really well, and what are you struggling with? So, Mark, would you like to go first?
Sure. Yeah, so I got really frustrated with myself during the coaching session. And I think on reflection, I got my feedback from you, Femke, saying, you know, clarity is going to be really important, asking clarifying questions. So I really focused on that. I think it's one of those things, you know, two steps back, one step forward. So I think I put it in my KPI. Like, I reckon I can do coaching okay, not well, but okay. So I can get by, but I really want to get better. So I've just relied on my sort of unconscious mastery of the bit of coaching that I can do well. And then when I throw something really conscious in the mix, which is asking clarifying questions, it then sort of stopped up my normal flow, which I'm happy with because I want to get better. But I just noticed that I was getting frustrated because I had the sense that the coaching session wasn't going well and I wasn't adding value, and it wasn't all this judgment just came into my head. For that, I was frustrated, but I was happy that I now understand. I think the thing that I'm really most happy about is actually identifying there's this thing called the well-formed problem. I never really got that before. So spending time understanding the problem is really valuable before you then try and think about what the solution might be, and asking lots of clarifying questions is also really useful. So I'm really excited about that. But just in the moment, I'm just not really frustrated.
Yeah. Well, I think the first few months, maybe the first 3 months of the program, most of the first group that we did, that I did with a mentoring program, it was very similar, very frustrated. And because you're getting so many new skills to add, it kind of like turns things into chaos, but then afterwards, everything falls together, and you get to go to your next level. I guess, like, frustration is part of growth.
Yeah, no, I'm cool with that. It reminded me of learning how to drive a car. I thought I could drive a car okay, and then my dad got in the car with me and went, what are you doing? I think it's one of those things. Like, there's a lot of, I think for me, the realization there's a lot of skills that I don't have that I would like to have, and I need to be consciously aware of that to then become unconsciously aware of doing that. So I at least recognize that's a process that I just need to go through, so it's going to help me with the frustration. And I'm really keen to learn the skill. And I think watching Graham, it really helped me understand maybe one of the problems that I have is I let people talk too much, and then I have too many potential branches of thought to go off. Mm. And I noticed with Graham that he often interrupts and asks a question and clarifies constantly without maybe a fault of mine, I'm not sure, like, what's well that is allowing people to talk and talk and talk, and then I'm not quite sure where to go in terms of the clarity or where to go in terms of another question or which path to go down and which rabbit warren, and then I get confused. Then I feel like I'm breaking flow with the client because I'm going back to what they said ages ago. And so those are things I'm sort of keen on exploring.
That's interesting. I think it's like keeping on focus and keeping your client focused on what you're talking about. I think that's a real skill. There's a couple of things I think to focus on. Did you notice also that he kind of went back to, okay, let me just backtrack. What is it that you want to get out of the session? And keeping on going back to that, making his client responsible for that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've seen Graham coach before. I've always thought he was very masterful. Mm-hmm. So it's aspired to.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you, Mark. And how about you, Dirk?
Femke, for me, it's very easy. If I think back to my last coaching session, I was excellent. It's just the client that was extremely difficult. Sorry, Mark.
I wasn't even trying.
I think for me, currently there's three realizations, and the one is that my ability to really have better coaching sessions depend on context. And what I mean with that is if I know a person better, or if I'm actually in an environment that I'm used to, such as practice groups, it actually is easier. For me, it really currently is about consistency and repeatability. And I think for me to achieve that, one of the things that I said in my KPI that I have to do is to probably go into a mode where I say, let me first understand what it is that I have to do and not just rely on what I thought was a bit more natural. So it's to have more control over what I do. And for that, I'm really practicing currently the frameworks, Femke, that you've discussed in a couple of calls. And then the last thing for me is that I think I've actually become a bit mechanistic in how I coach. So I've lost much of a natural style, and I have to bring that back. And I think that will make
what was that
much
meta?
More. Pardon?
I didn't hear the word that you used.
What I said is that I think what has also happened is that my coaching style has become a bit mechanistic. And I want it to be a more natural style. So I used to use humor in coaching, and I think it changed at a very specific benchmarking session, if I think back to it, where I used humor, but it was not I mean, in retrospect, it wasn't very appropriate to the outcome, and I got very harsh feedback on that, and then I just stopped using it at all. So I have to bring back some of those to make it more natural for me. So I think there's great learnings for me in this. And every time that I actually get benchmarked, I get so much more information. And what makes this great is that in the practice groups here, I end up being one of the more senior people, so I end up doing the benchmarking, giving the feedback. So the opportunity to coach is, and to coach in front of other people who can really give you feedback for stretches is not that much. I see large gaps, and I see many opportunities to improve, which is great.
Awesome, that's good to hear, Derek.
Yeah, no, thanks to both of you.
So I'm not sure. Dawn hasn't gotten on the call yet. I haven't gotten a message from her, so I'll check in with her later. But we'll just continue the call, and then Don has the possibility of listening back to what we have discussed so far. So let us first start with some questions that you may have with regards to the material that we've covered so far. Or anything else for that matter.
Dirk, yeah, I haven't got any specific questions.
Okay.
I mean, I can think up a couple, but I don't think that would be too useful.
Okay. Mark, do you have any questions?
Sorry, guys, I was just mobiling Dawn just to let her know. She just didn't realize, for some reason, she didn't realize the call was on, but she's... She'll be able to join us in about 20 minutes. She's just going on from
lunch. Okay.
I'm slowly getting into it. I think probably the big, number one question I have is what Dirk asked before on Facebook is, how do you actually in Facebook have a thread where you add multiple files? I'm struggling to work out how to do that. I know that I can add a new comment with a file attachment. But I don't know how to attach a file to a thread. Is there a way of doing that?
I don't know. I need to look that up because I'm pretty sure I've seen people do that. But
because when I like comment on, like say if Dirk adds a file, I know I can write a comment on it. But then the only option I have to add anything is a photo. And I click on the photo, I was trying to like find a way of maybe you just have to add like a JPEG file as opposed to a PDF or something, I don't know. Dirk, did you work out how to do that?
No, I couldn't work it out yet. I would have to also, as Femke said, probably Google it and see how it's done. Because I think, Femke, you've done it, haven't you, when you posted or continued on the thread on Mark's question regarding score?
Yeah, that I just copy-paste from my Word, like from a Word document, I just copy-pasted. You know, like if nothing else, copy-pasting would be like works. And then for some reason, it creates a, like it turns it into kind of like a picture or a file. I don't know how that happens, but... if you have like information, then I think the easiest is either turn it into a JPEG file, if that's possible, or copy paste it into the thread directly so that you can just read it. I think that's the easiest rather than adding a file. And the thing is that it's easier to kind of like keep things about one topic in one place so that we're not missing anything.
I think I just did it.
So, I'll.
Dirk, I think I just. If you have a look on Facebook, Dirk, underneath your, well,
Looks like I have, but I'm not 100% sure. If you have a look at the Facebook thread, Dirk, where you said, I just have to figure out how to attach a file, and then I said, I don't know how to do this either. But then I just tried the copy and paste option.
Okay.
Seems to work, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, I'll check.
And maybe it hasn't, I don't know. It's looking weird on my screen.
I don't see it yet, but...
Okay, no, maybe it hasn't then.
We'll do some experimenting with it.
Another thing that I've just thought about, MK, if you say that one can copy-paste, then one can also copy-paste links to Dropbox files, which will also then not have it there directly, but it at least gives you access to it.
Yeah, definitely. That will be a good idea as well, to just have a Dropbox, like add it to Dropbox and then link to there.
Okay, so just going back to what you did, Femke. So if I look at Dirk uploaded the file, which was his summary of his benchmarking notes with me, and then you said, here's my feedback on your coaching Dawn in that same thread. So you just copied all the words in a Word document and pasted the words in, or you copied the file and put the file in?
No, I copied the words.
Okay, so it's just copying the text of a Word document, pasting it in, and then posting. Okay, understood.
Yeah, and then for some reason it turns it into like a picture or something.
Okay.
So,
all right. Wonderful. All right, I'll
give that a go.
Cool. Yeah, that's Natalie.
Thank you.
My main question. One question I see you think as well is I'm terrible at this, I apologize, but I have a brain. I can see things and see spelling mistakes like really quickly for some reason. It must be my mismatching capabilities.
Uh-huh.
Would you like feedback from me if I do notice a typo in any of the material?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you like Michael and you don't care?
Yes, I'm not like Michael. I'm okay with editing. I don't take it personal.
That's
and I don't think it's irrelevant, because I do think it's so.
I was sending Michael an email one time with, hey, I just read your book and all these are all the typos, and he's like, thank you very much, but I'm not really interested.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I won't do that anymore.
Yeah, so I'm open to that.
Cool.
Thank you. Okay, so if there's no questions, what we're going to do today is go over the benchmarking. We'll go into the meta questions, of course. Well, one of the assignments of the latest skill builder is also to kind of listen to it again and focus only on meta questions, and to kind of go look at, okay, what does that meta question do? For what purpose? Dirk, I see that you've already kind of done that in an overview. So, but it's just, even if you listen to other coaching sessions, to get an idea of like, okay, what is the purpose of a meta question? Because we don't really focus so much on that. We get like a whole list and a lot of categories of meta questions, but it's not necessarily like an overview of, okay, when do we ask a meta question and for what purpose? So that's what I wanted to add, so that you have an idea of, okay, I want to take my client to motivation, or I want to take them to decision, or I want to create awareness, like all of these functions that are part of the change process. So, but we won't get into too much detail of that today. Today we're going to focus on the benchmarking itself. So we're going to go through the form. So we'll start with supporting, and one of you can start with what you've kind of like written down, and then we'll add to that. So who would like to start with the skill of supporting?
If you start, I'm just going to find my benchmarking form.
Okay.
Where is that? I'm just trying to look for the actual benchmark form itself. Where's the quickest way to get one?
Oh, I can send it to you.
Has it been emailed to us? Is it on Facebook? Is it?
Let me just email it to you quickly, okay?
Okay, cool. Thank you. Sorry, I just couldn't find the template. No, I said it somewhere, I just couldn't find it.
So do I send it to at mac.com?
Yeah, that's fine.
Or
any of those. Yeah, mac.com is fine. Thank you.
Okay, it's on its way.
Thank you.
So can I start in the meantime, or do you wait for?
No, you can get started.
Yeah, I've got a form with notes on it which is also missing, and I started to look for it just before the session. But I've made a summary of what I had on the form, so I'll just start with that. I track 12 acknowledgements. I have something which I think is a pattern identified, and that's the I would call it the tentative answers that the client has been giving throughout. So she would guess it's so, and I would think, and I don't know. And Graham actually came back to that a couple of times. I tracked eight confrontations. The one was actually an interesting one where he said, probably not, and it was all in the tone. It wasn't content. And he said, now you're laughing. Did I say you were complicated? That was a very direct one. I am confused, and those were some of them. I had one validation, two celebrations. Celebrations, you listen well, you can do it. I think when she tried some word, I can't recall the specific one. One challenge, when she said she can't actually put a word to it, and he said try something, which I see as a challenge. Holding frames, the getting self out of the way. Initially was a frame that he came back to regularly, and even at a point in time when I thought that wasn't the topic anymore, he came back to that again, and I thought that was actually quite good, because then it was confirmed that is not the issue anymore. And also the not so much the word itself, but the whole issue of flow, that moment when she doesn't know what she do before the point when she starts thinking. I picked up four times that he has put word to emotions. So now you are laughing and you're crying is one. There were at least four specific semantic gestures that he matched. I need help with, and then he indicated what she was saying. When she started talking about the levels in differentiating what she's doing currently from what coaching is, she said maybe it's a levels thing. The bullshit at the back or to the side of her head. The snapping of the finger when the thinking starts, those are all things that I tracked that he was using. I think in terms of the non-verbals, the energy and the voice volume, tempo and tone, I'm not the best at actually differentiating that, but in my view that was basically similar. And he has also used summaries. So it's really about you being present was the one conclusion that he got to, and getting rid of the bullshit. That was the summary that I had. So that's what I had under supporting. I didn't pick up anything negative, surprisingly.
Okay. Yeah, very surprising. So what was, in terms of supporting for you, Dirk, what was the biggest insight that you got from watching Graham? What are you now going to do different?
The big thing for me was the way in which he confronted. I remarked it later on in the benchmarking as well. I would refer to it as that he almost created a what's the right word now? A light-hearted way of dealing with it right from the beginning. I mean, the opening words was, is it the damn camera and the people, or is it the damn people and the camera? So just by starting with that sort of mode of coaching, he made it easier to, as he continued to bring confrontations into the discussion without it being jarring. It was almost natural.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me
yeah.
is something that I think I can do rather well, but I don't do it because I'm always concerned that it might actually it might hamper rapport. And I think the way in which he actually brought that over that I really found was amazing.
Yeah. And what is it specifically? Do you know what he does that makes it not jarring, that makes it like a smooth?
I think for me it's adding humor to it. That's probably the best way of putting it.
What was that?
Adding humor.
Oh, okay. Adding humor, yeah.
Yeah.
He's kinda good at that, huh?
Yeah.
I think for me, it was playful.
Okay,
yeah,
playful,
that's
yeah.
I wasn't telling
that's
jokes or...
Yeah.
It was just that sort of
yeah.
playful curiosity and, yeah. One of the questions I had for you, Femke, on supporting... The only thing that I heard him say that I was like, I don't know if I would have said that, was he said, I can see you getting emotional.
Uh-huh.
I just wondered if that's, because to me that's I don't know whether that's a judgment or what. I mean, clearly you could see that she was welling up and there were tears and he offered tissues, but the words he used were, you're getting emotional again. And I was like, that could have triggered a negative response as opposed to just stating a fact of, I can see that you're welling
yeah.
up. I can see your eyes. I can see your tears are coming down. I can. So that was the only negative I was thinking in relation to the supporting.
Yeah, I think that's a good catch. You know, it's like the cleaner you can be in feeding the back, I see you tearing up. That really is like clean feedback, because one of the things that I've noticed in his in the way that he confronts or in the way that he does, you know, puts words to emotions and stuff, is that he's really normally quite clean in his feedback. So he just feeds back what she said, and that's it. And so I think, yeah, getting emotional, and especially emotional, I think is often, even though it's just like, oh, you're getting an emotion, emotional often already has a meaning behind
yeah.
it of sadness or something negative. So, yeah, I think that
yeah.
was a good catch.
Yeah, you know, I've had that experience where people apologize for crying because they say, I don't want to appear to be weak and overly emotional. So I just kind of thought, yeah, if I say you're getting emotional, that could be a trigger for them of a negative experience that they've had. And
I'm
going to state the facts. I notice you're crying. I can see tears.
What's that about?
That's probably less risky.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and also because you don't know what it is about. You know, from the outside, you can only guess what the tears are about. So, make it as clean as possible. So I think that's a good distinction to make. Did you notice also that what kind of frames did he set?
I didn't pick up any frames in the beginning. I got the impression that it was really a piece out of a coaching session. I don't know whether we saw the very first part.
I think in the middle there was a part missing of the two. I'm pretty sure we saw the first part, but I didn't count any frames in the beginning either. I counted three frames that he said, and one of them like was kind of like in collaboration with her. But flow is a frame. You know, by naming it, you're framing it. So when he kind of named it as flow, then he framed the outcome that she was after, which makes it easier to talk about. So that was a frame that I counted. He spoke about a paradox of like disappearing herself and then and yet showing up, stepping up and be in front of all these people. So he called that a paradox. And also he spoke about conflict when she spoke about like, I'm good enough. And then there was a tightness in her chest. And so he said, so we've got a conflict here, which is introducing a frame.
Yeah.
So those are some of the frames that I caught. Any other, Mark, what was your biggest learning from supporting?
I think probably what I said before, earlier in the call, that like in supporting the jarring, I guess when I see jarring, I think, oh, it's not okay to constantly interrupt, let the person talk, but mm-hmm. then I get lost because I've let them talk
right,
too much.
Exactly.
I didn't notice that he sort of said at the start, hey, I might interrupt you from time to time or get permission for that or whatever, but I thought the way he did it, I actually liked.
Yeah.
But without allowing the person to go too far into talking, that then it becomes harder to bring them back to, so what did you mean about blah? Or, so I thought there were lots and lots of clarity questions, lots and lots of meta questions which we'll get to next, but in a supporting way, even though it was constantly just not letting her speak too much. So I think that was probably something I take from it. You can constantly sort of interrupt while still having that really good supporting frame behind it. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. Okay, great. So let's move on to listening. Mark, do you want to take that one?
Sure, I'll give it a go. There was one time I noticed that right near the end where there was a long silence. And some, he didn't do anything. He just stayed quiet. I guess there wasn't really a need to say anything in that moment. He just allowed whatever that was going through to go through, which I liked. In terms of clarity of words, you see in my, I get lots and lots and lots of clarity questions. So I've got 20 clarity questions that I noticed.
Okay.
So lots of checking in on her words.
What were the words that he clarified?
Which she was talking about, there's all these people, it was like, which people? So he was trying to get it to be specific about which people, and that led to the realization that it wasn't the people in the room, it was the people on the video, like us, watching it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when she said, oh, you know, I'm just being stupid, and he said, well, what is stupid? And I said, to understand what that was. Lots of times he said, sorry, I'm confused, can you need to help me?
Right.
Checked in on the diary about what she meant by a coach. And she said she didn't think she was a coach and even knew what a coach was. And then through the clarity of articulating what she thought a coach was, she realized that, yes, she is a coach, even though she might not have identified herself as a coach.
Right.
What else have I got? Give me an idea of what you mean by this. That's a good clarity question, I thought. I really love the... one of the things I really liked was the... when she said, I don't know what you mean, and instead of explaining himself, as to which is probably what I would have done, and waffled on for 2 minutes about trying to explain what it was that I was trying to get across, his immediate response was, what is it that you don't understand? I like that. I thought it was really cool. Trying to, again, put it back on her and get some specificity. I don't know if that's a clarity question or not, but in the sense of the word. And I also like the check-in. I don't know if it's in the clarity question. The check-in towards the end is, so how are we going?
Okay.
Is that a clarity question or is that a meta question?
It's just a, for me, that's just a checking. It's a test of how we're going. Where are you at right now? It's not a clarity question. So
clarity questions then were more the which people, around the what is a coach, what does it mean to you, what else? Yeah, those are the main ones.
Okay. Okay.
So lots of tracking, lots of clarity checking. Didn't talk much of the time at all. I'd say probably 5% of the time was him talking. Repeated some of the key things. Well, the thing I wrote down about the repeating. He did repeat a number of times just words that she used, and didn't really go anywhere with it, but just repeated them back to her, so that I guess she could hear herself. Around the, I want to disappear. So you've just done stuff without thinking, was what I wrote down about. He just repeated, it wasn't often that he actually repeated a phrase that she said, but that was one time that I wrote down something that he repeated exactly what she said.
Right. Okay.
Many, many yeses, okays, nods, mm-hmms, and I didn't count them, but more than 10 of each, at least.
Okay, good. So anything that he missed, that things not heard?
I don't know when, would you consider when he, like he probed and probed and probed and didn't get anywhere with her, and then he suggested something, which was the flow, the story that he had about, is that mind reading, or what is that then?
Which one, what was that specifically?
When he was asking her, can you come up with a word for this? And she basically said no, and he said, oh, just imagine you could, and she still couldn't come up with a word. He started talking about, okay, well, have you heard of Michaela Chamehai? And he's got this thing called flow, and does that resonate with you? And she said, yes, I know flow. And then he said, oh, does that resonate with you? Is it a leading question? Oh, I suppose we're listening.
No, that's more like he's helping her frame it. He's helping her basically kind of like, in a way, it's more rephrasing, which is under listening at level 3.5. So he's helping her rephrase it, put synonyms to it. Basically, he's been listening to her, asking questions. What do you mean with disappearing yourself? Well, it needs to be present, to be quiet. And then it came to, like, I don't even know that I'm doing it. And all of those are components of flow. So... And he did that tentatively. So he said, is it okay? He asked her permission. I give you a few things, and then he checked on, whether it resonated with her. So really, it's rephrasing and to seeing if it fits. So that's not mind reading. He's very tentative about it.
Cool. Thank you.
Okay, Dirk, do you have anything to add?
Just on the last discussion regarding the introduction of flow, before the question was asked, I actually wrote down here that might actually be an example of inferential listening. So I am just curious mm-hmm. to know the difference between rephrasing and inferential listening.
Okay. So did you say that you now realize the difference?
No, I actually think if you ask me without your view that it is rephrasing, I would have tracked that as inferential listening.
Mm-hmm.
And that causes a bit of confusion. But I mean, this is also detail that maybe we don't have to spend too much time on. But it's because Graham actually gives you so much evidence, it's just interesting to know how one would actually differentiate.
Yeah, you know, like in a way, at that time, he's also listening inferentially, I guess, but with inferential listening, it's kind of like, what can I logically conclude from this?
Yeah, and that's how I saw that. So if you don't know, then Csikszentmihalyi says, here's the sort of, I almost said symptoms, the characteristics of flow, and you're giving me all those characteristics.
Yeah.
But it would also fit under rephrasing, but it's just great that he did that. Other than that, I haven't got any additional questions. Perhaps just one in terms of many of the questions that Mark has put into his mind map. I agree are clarity questions, but I don't think that they are clarity check of words.
Right.
So from that perspective, they if I have to put them somewhere on the benchmarking form, it's great evidence, most of those for checking questions. And then that might be semantics, but that's how I understand it.
Yeah. So let me share a little bit about that, because so when we look for clarity of words, we're looking really at what are some of the keywords that she used that Graham kind of checked clarity on. So for example, he asked about disappearing yourself. What does that mean? Well, that means to be present and to be quiet. Oh, no, that means to be present. Okay, what does to be present mean? Well, it means to be quiet. And so he got information there, and he asked a lot of clarifying questions. Some of those were checking questions, to checking, like, am I understanding, like, so is upset okay? That's a checking question. Are you okay? Are you a coach? That's a checking question. Then there's also exploration questions. So when he talks about, like, what do you do now? That's an exploration question. It's not a clarity check. So all of those are clarifying the present state or the desired state. But the distinction is that clarity checks of words is really, I want to know, when you say disappearing yourself, and this is actually something where I would have loved Graham to get more detail and more of the strategy process of, like, okay, how specifically what specifically does disappearing yourself mean in this in this context? What would you be saying? What would you be seeing? What would you be hearing? So when she said, when she had said, I've already done it, okay, great. Let's explore that. What happens in that moment that you call disappearing yourself? So I think he could have gotten more detail on that with regards to that. And then the other questions are more exploration and test checking questions. Does that make sense, Mark?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
I think I've just changed my little branch of my mind map instead of clarity questions to clarifying questions.
Yes.
And then created a sub-branch off that to clarity of words as a subset. So that was helpful.
Okay, great. Yeah. Awesome. Okay, so how about questioning?
My turn, I think.
Yeah.
It's the only skill that I think he has not got a more than 2.5, because in my mind he didn't get a KPI.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's my opening statement. I was just so proud to find one place where he was not more than a 2.5.
That's all you got.
In terms of the specific well-formed outcome questions, he didn't ask the questions in a very direct way. He actually introduced many of them, what I would call in an indirect way, but he did cover the what, he did cover the why, he did cover the context, he did cover the what do you need to do to get to an outcome, which are four of the five critical ones to be dealt with to actually get to the 2.5. The third one that I didn't track was ecology. I didn't get any ecology questions.
Okay.
And in addition to the four that he has asked, he also touched on the resources in a sort of an indirect way, where he said, have you done it before? And he also said, he didn't ask her whether she's done it before. He made a statement and said, so you have done it before, when she said that there was a time when she actually sort of just got lost in the discussion. And he said, how many steps, but didn't really follow that up. So it wasn't for me a clean example of really going through the questions in a very direct and structured way, but it did actually cover many of them. Then I tracked 8 exploration questions, 19 checking questions, and 6 testing questions. I also heard quality control questions when she spoke about when he said you guess a lot, and he said, is this useful for you?
Yes, exactly.
For me, the learning out of this was that you really stayed with the search for the outcome. That's the best that I can put it. He was in that 15 minutes. That was the focus, and the questions were all about the same subject: the disappearing of the self, and eventually, in a way, it almost became the flow. So if you put all of that together and you say that it really was the same subject, then you really have an in-depth probing here, which is on a level 3.5.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm just glad that I didn't get the KPI. Otherwise, it would also have been a brilliant one. And for
did
me,
you watch
for me,
the
that,
second? Dirk, Dirk, did you watch the second part of the coaching session?
I didn't. You've sent 2 links, but the second link took me to a total different video. So was the second link the second part of that coaching session supposed to be?
Oh, okay.
Sorry to interrupt, but Dawn's on the call, but she can hear us, but we can't hear her. And I think I may have made a mistake of giving, I gave her just the details, I gave her the call, the phone number, and I gave her my PIN. Does that mean that she won't be able to?
Oh, right. No, I see now that she's on. I was just looking up the Graham Richardson's part. So, hi, Dawn.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Oh, we can hear you now. Cool.
Yes. Great to have you on the call.
Sorry, I didn't have any details of when the call was, so I don't know what happened. And so I was working till 6.
Okay, yeah, I put them on the Facebook because you'd asked me to put it on Facebook, so I did.
I searched for it on Facebook and couldn't find anything. So I don't know why. I just didn't see it.
Okay. Okay, well, it's good to have you here now. And we've gone through supporting and listening of the coaching conversation of Graham Richardson.
Yep.
So you'll be able to listen back to that and kind of we had a little discussion, and right now we've kind of gone through the questioning. So Dirk just discussed the questioning of like the first part of the coaching session. So for Dirk, what happened is that the second link led him to a entirely different coaching session. So was that the same for you, Mark, or like did I?
I didn't try. I ran out of time just doing the first one.
Okay.
The second link didn't go to a coaching session. It went to somebody that was playing a song. And I've tried it now again.
But I found the second one because I found a link back to the coaching room, and on the coaching room is all of the videos, and then I found the second one.
Yeah, so I'll edit it. I don't know what happened there. So let's focus then on the first part of the coaching session. Let's continue to do that. So essentially, Dawn, what Dirk just shared was that he counted, I think it was 19 exploration questions?
19 checking questions and 8 exploration, I also mixed them up, yeah.
Okay, and then how many testing questions?
I had 6.
Okay. And then because he kept on topic and was around disappearing myself, when we look at in-depth probing, 7 to 10 questions into the same subject, so he was doing in-depth probing. How many of the KPI, how many of the well-formed outcome questions did you track?
I tracked the 4 that I mentioned initially out of the 5, and then 3 additional ones,
yeah.
The one that resources and the have you done it before and the how many steps.
Yeah.
That's 7 in total.
Yeah. So that how many steps, because he didn't really follow that up, I wouldn't count that as a question.
Yeah, I was
because
also...
Because it's not... Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was about to say that is part of what I refer to as not specifically asking the questions directly and following through on them, but almost just use them as a guide for his in-depth probing.
Okay.
So I would agree with you on that one.
Yeah. Okay. So any other... feedback, Dawn or Mark, about questioning or questions that you have? Okay, Dawn?
I had a couple of questions that I didn't know where they fitted.
Okay.
So can you give me a name to that experience? So he was before he got the word flow, and he was looking for the name. And I didn't know where that question fitted. And so tell me, and then after he got the name flow, so tell me a bit about when you are in flow. So I wasn't sure when that fit.
So the first question, I counted that as a meta question. So because you're naming it, you have to step back from it. You're going to have to go in and up to kind of give it a, you're going to label it, basically, and that's a meta process. So it's a meta question. And then tell me about flow. That's more an exploration question.
Okay. I found
any other questions? Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say that I struggled with the meta questions, and I think I don't know whether it's because I don't fully understand a meta question, but I didn't hear many meta questions. I heard more questions.
Okay. So we'll go deeper into the meta questions and see what of those are meta questions and which are, of those are and grounded ones in particular and which ones of those are not. So let's go into meta questions. If there's no more questions around questions, let me ask one question. Like, what could Graham have done differently that would have made it even more, that would have taken his skills of questioning to the next level?
Ground is more.
Getting a KPI would be one.
Getting a KPI, and I think, Don, you said grounding it more?
Yes.
Yeah, can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Well, he often just asks a meta question, like, what do you need, or do you need this, or what do you need to release this, and it's not grounded. And she often turned around and said, what do you mean? And then he had to repeat back the grounding part so that she understood the question.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's one of the feedback that I shared also that I would have liked him to do, is get more detail on what specifically she meant with disappearing myself. Because I still couldn't see the movie, or I still couldn't replicate it for myself. And so what happens then is that it's not grounded in that case. And then there's going to be a lot of questions. Then I also don't know what specifically are they working on. So that takes away from the skill of questioning. And also the meta questions then are not as grounded.
Yeah.
I thought maybe he was trying to be clever by, you know, confronting her whether you want to disappear, but you put yourself on camera. And I guess the juxtaposition of that, as opposed to just really going in on what you mean by disappearing.
Yeah, so disappearing is a, you know, we all four of us can see, can have an idea of disappearing yourself. But how is she using that word? And I think if he had gotten into that earlier, he might have locked it down, and also the what, he might have locked that down earlier. So grounding, I think, is my main feedback for Graham is to do that. So great insight, Don.
Oh, Don.
Okay, so you see also that if you don't ask clarity questions, it's going to have an effect on your listening skills, are going to have an effect on your questioning and meta-questioning as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go into meta questions. Who wants to share that? Who wants to take the lead in that?
Well, I don't mind, but I couldn't pick up many meta questions. So, but I mean, you said that, can you give a name to that experience? So I personally feel that I don't really understand fully. I mean, what does it mean? I find that easy to pick up. And what does it mean to be present? And what do you need? Do you need this and stuff? But I struggle mm-hmm. to hear many. So I probably picked up only about 10, 12 meta questions in the whole thing. And I listened to both.
You listened to both. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay. So just to kind of, because I heard you say, what does it mean to be present? That
yeah.
would be the way that he asked that. That was a clarity check of words. So that's
okay.
more of a word like that clarifies it and that drills down and out than in and up.
Okay.
So that's the distinction. So I think, Dirk, you counted 11 meta questions in the first part.
Yeah, that is correct, and I think, Mark, if I look at your mind map, you also have about 11 of them or even more?
I got 14, but I'm not 100% that they were all what you just described, in
mm-hmm.
and out, as opposed to down and out. But yeah, I wrote down 14.
Yeah, so shall I share what is mine, and we can check whether I've got it right?
Yeah, and then we can check maybe some of Dawn's as well. So I'd like to kind of like spend a little time on, okay, what is a meta question and what is not a meta question? And then is it grounded or not?
Yeah. So what I had, I've also got sort of the time when it is in the discussion, so one can go back and check it out. But right in the beginning, he said, what is it that makes you uncomfortable? For me, that's a meta question of cause or causation. And he followed that up immediately with another question. It says, what does it mean to you? Which is meaning and significance. The questions weren't asked very elegantly because they were sort of stringed together. But those are, in my mind, two meta questions. The fact that they've been asked in that way also would, in my mind, make them not that grounded. Silly is it now? How silly is it now is the next one that I tracked, and that's a meta question of degree or extent.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, he said, what is that about? And he asked that about three times. He's also asking later on, what is coming up for you? And those are meta questions. Of thought, notion, idea, but I don't think they are that smart meta questions. They are sort of the stock questions that I use when I don't know what meta question to ask. So it's not directed to a specific purpose or function. That's my view. It's really just a stopgap question, but they are meta questions nonetheless. So you are a coach.
Right. So there.
Meta question of identity or self-description.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call that if it is not coaching? That is a definition or label. How are they different? That's a meta question of difference or comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give a name for that experience? That I think we discussed that. That's definition or label. And then right at the end, who do you think you are? Is one of identity or self-description. So those are the ones that I've tracked.
So, as they are not grounded, that would be at a level two. They also need to be relevant. So one of the things, that question of what is it that makes you uncomfortable, I was actually curious if that's a meta question because it actually asks for the trigger. So what is it out there or like what specifically makes you uncomfortable? So it actually asks about, okay, this is what happens, and that makes me uncomfortable. And then you can ask a meta question about that. What do you believe about that that makes you uncomfortable?
Yeah, that was actually the question where he asked two questions, sort of. The one question was piggybacking on the other. What does it mean?
Right.
What makes you uncomfortable? And we immediately followed that up with, what does it mean to you?
Yeah.
But you are, I think your view is better in terms of the one that I had, that is cause of causation. It's probably more mm-hmm. bigger than cause of causation.
Yeah. Okay, so if we take a look at, and then I'm curious, Don, to hear your kind of insights, or maybe that you have more distinction now. But if we take a look at Mark's question, so some of those are the same. What is it? So
I highlighted three questions that I now think are probably not meta questions based on what we discussed
okay.
earlier. So the three that, what does it mean to you to disappear yourself? I think
yeah.
you know, is possibly a clarity question.
Yeah.
Indeed. What does to be present mean to you is probably a clarity question.
Right.
And also describe yourself to me. I had that as a meta question, but that could also be a clarity question.
I would put that as a exploration question.
Probably.
Yeah, it's exploring. Describe yourself to me. It's like very open. So also there I was thinking, okay, in relation to what?
Yeah.
So and that plays into Don's, it's not grounded enough.
Possibly another one that could also not be a meta question might be the what is it that makes you uncomfortable about that? That might not be a meta question.
Yeah, it asks, it's like almost like an attempt to ground it, to ground the uncomfortable feelings, like you're asking for the trigger. Yeah. Okay.
So
go ahead, Don.
About a question, which I didn't put it down as a meta question. I put it as a confronting question, which was right at the beginning. So how silly is it now? So I put that down more as confronting than a meta question.
Mm-hmm. So those questions. When a question is confronting, it can also at the same time be a meta question.
Okay.
A confronting meta question.
Yes. So essentially,
well,
like, what function does a meta question have? It can be to confront.
Yeah.
So with this, like, how silly is it now? Actually, I think also that was, like, inferential listening, because he looked at her kind of laughing, and he inferred from, like, based on her, he calibrated based on that she thought it was silly.
Mm-hmm.
And he calibrated that correctly.
Yes.
So I didn't see that so much as a confrontation, as much as kind of creating more awareness of that she feels that it's silly.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we do count that as a meta question.
Okay.
Yep.
Imka, to add to that, I think the client's response to that was, it's pretty damn ridiculous.
Yeah.
Which really makes it a meta question, because she actually answered the question and said the degree of silliness is now pretty damn ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so what insights do you now have, Don, about, or more distinction about meta questions?
Not enough.
Going through this help you?
Not enough.
Okay.
I don't think. I think I need to look at that closer. Because, like, when I read the meta questions in the manual, they make sense. But when I listen to him, I find it really hard to distinguish what's a meta question and what's not.
Yeah. I think maybe that's also because it's not so grounded. That makes it harder.
Yeah.
To count it. Yeah, you know, like, is this a meta question? Where does it go? Like, what is it relating to? Yeah.
Yeah.
Dirk, did you put your sheet on Facebook?
I don't remember. I can do that.
Yeah.
I just couldn't find it. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, so that would help, Dirk, to put that up. Mark's is up on Facebook. So that would help to kind of, like, have a reference point and see. And then you can ask questions and listen back to it. And so that's also one of the parts of the skill builder right now is to really start listening, okay, what meta questions are people asking and what is the function of it? So, like, is the function confronting? Is it provoking? Is it challenging or probing? So either of the roles of the axis of change or something else. But that's a good insight. Okay, so let's go to the to induction of states.
Before we go there, Femke, I have one question.
Yes, go ahead.
He stated, what are you letting that do to you? Is that a detecting a frame?
What are you letting that do to you? Detecting the frame. No, I think it's almost a frame by implication, because you're to answer that question, you have to kind of acknowledge that that you're letting it do something to you.
Mm-hmm.
So detecting a frame is like, oh, I hear you say this. Is that a belief that you have? That's detecting a frame.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, it almost sounds like if it's said in that way, it's what are you letting that do to you? To answer that question, you have to accept that it's doing, that you're letting it do something to you.
Yeah.
So it's a meta question.
Okay.
So let's go to induction of states. Anyone want to take the lead in that?
There were tears.
Okay.
The last one that he did that I thought was probably the most powerful, where she seemed to break down the most. I thought that the state was amplified with the silence. Him not even doing anything, not handing her a tissue, not doing nothing, but just staring at her. It just seemed like that was the trigger for her to then, I don't know if she went deep inside and it triggered something for her or what was happening, but that was the most powerful moment I thought in the session where a state was induced. Not quite sure how he did it, but that was a realization.
Okay. So what states did he induce?
With self-reflection. There's a self-reflection state.
Asking
her the questions of, you know, the things that he said to her about, you know, isn't this silly now? Obviously got a state of self-reflection. And she looked up, she kind of closed her eyes, she paused and did a lot of self-reflection. the, because I'm not quite sure how he did the last one where she really broke down. That didn't know if I took on state inflation.
So what other states?
I'm sure Dirk's got 15.
Why are you saying that, Mark? Come now, man.
pay back for the comment before that you were amazing as a coach and the client wasn't very good, so you like touching on your amazingness.
Yeah, okay. You got me there. I listed a few. I said what we discussed initially, the state of playfulness.
Yep.
And I think that was almost throughout the discussion. And I also equate that almost to he was almost teasing her in the way that he was challenging her. So challenge and teasing, and that to me was the strongest state throughout, the challenging and teasing state. And then I grouped reflection and analysis together, where he got her to actually think about things and also to try and actually put the pieces of the puzzle together. So I've only got three. Playfulness, reflection, analysis, and challenge and teasing.
Yeah. And Dawn?
I picked up a decision state around the need and brainstorming around the name of the flow. Well, I don't know whether it was brainstorming or curiosity, you know, finding a name for the word, finding the flow name.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to induce a state to be able to name it, right? So that was like, he was almost like inducing the desired state by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, and the need, that was in the second part. And he actually, that'll be interesting also, Dawn, but also for the others to listen to, like he was kind of meta-stating need. So he was asking meta questions to get higher and higher up the needs and resources. Sorry.
Because he did quite a few questions around need. What do you need? Do you need this? What do you need to release this?
Yeah.
And you see the number
if
of
you
others.
Have that, what do you need then? Yeah.
Yeah. I only captured some of them, but he did say, you know, around the need.
So he induced the state of need and resources.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So he used silence. Used questions and meta questions. Was he congruent in voice and gestures?
I didn't notice a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I lied. The only time I noticed a difference was when she was really upset, his voice dropped to say that she was doing really well. That was in the second one.
Yeah.
The only thing, like I said before, Femke, that I didn't like was when he said you're getting emotional.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was on the skill of supporting.
And, you know, that could have broken the state if by causing some sort of a judgment, which then could have triggered a response.
Right. Yeah, that would. Okay, any questions about induction of states?
Femke, I'm just curious in terms of if you have to give a rating to induction of state based on the first portion of this coaching session. Because when mm-hmm. when I did it initially, I actually thought that it was quite well done. With the evidence that we now have on the meta questions not being grounded, I'm beginning to ask the question whether it was as well done as I thought it was. So I thought it was at a 3. I don't know what your view is.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, the thing with when someone becomes more masterful, there's something that he does that I'm not sure is actually in the benchmarking form. I think I would have liked, I think he's operating at a pretty high level, but I still would like him to ground it more so that you can test it later. And I think that does take away from the skill. So induction of state, I probably would have put him at a level like 2.7.
Okay.
What makes it difficult as well is what I'm finding is, and I'm curious about how you guys see that, is a sense of like, do I have permission to be critical because he's supposed to be really great? How objective can you be in that situation?
I think everyone can always improve in every moment. Feedback is always
of
good.
Course. Absolutely.
And I put it in the context of, I'm assuming it is kind of weird when you're being filmed and in front of a lot of people. I don't know how I would personally handle that. I would imagine that I would be possibly, like, feel more comfortable in a one-on-one setting in a nice quiet room. But, you know, being filmed and having all those people in the room with you, I would imagine is kind of strange, off-putting. Would be for me anyway.
Yeah.
So
no,
just
I think
he is fantastic. He might impact him.
Yeah, Don?
My sort of gut feel is that, yes, he is operating in a different state, because when you watch the second one, he suddenly just takes her in a different direction. So he's just following his intuition, because he suddenly says, who are you? And, I mean, that was an exploration kind of state about trying to understand who she was, and then it brings up the voice from her dad and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah. I have to say one thing, Don, with that.
Yeah.
There is a part in the middle between part one and part two that we're missing. Because I initially was like, I counted that, and Mark and Dirk, you'll be hearing that as well. In the second one, he all of a sudden starts talking about her dad and asks a question like, does your dad love you? And I was like, well, that's a leading question, or that's an irrelevant question. But it's because we've missed some information. From what Michael said is that she actually mentioned her dad and about her like loving, and so we kind of missed that part.
It's in the second part. But it's that by asking.
Yeah, but she
was,
didn't say it.
It leads her into. I thought she did.
I didn't hear that, but.
I thought she did. But from what I take on, Graham was a good coach before he did meta coaching, is my understanding. And so I think there are different systems out there and different ways of being that you can be a good coach and still get the really good results. But he's then adapted and brought in some of the method coaching to make him a better coach. I just think he still gets the same result. That would be my gut feel.
Yeah, he incorporated meta coaching. I mean, he reached a master certified meta coach last year, so he's really, like, Michael's benchmarked him several times, and so But when you get higher up the levels, to pick up on those things, it just becomes more challenging to pick up on the things that are so masterful that they almost look like they sometimes almost look like leading. So when he's rephrasing or when it's inferential listening, if you can pick that up, then you would say like, oh, he's mind reading, or he's leading, or he's paraphrasing.
Yep.
When in fact he's doing a really high level skill.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that
can you just remember that when you benchmark me, Senka?
Of course, yes.
Maybe I'm just operating on a different level.
Yes, true.
Thank you.
Okay, so what is your biggest takeaway from benchmarking Graham?
Mine was the many, many, many questions without letting her ramble on, and that seemed like it flowed really, really well. And that was my takeaway.
Okay. Okay, great. Dawn?
But I'm not good at benchmarking, and I really struggle to really figure out what question is what, where does it fit in what category. I was really struggling with that when I was sitting there doing this. And I stopped and listened to it I don't know how many times, and I still was struggling. So, yeah, I think that's a personal reflection on, you know, kind of where it is for me.
Right.
And so that then reflects back on, you know, am I asking the right questions at the right time, and what questions am I asking, and do I really understand what I am asking? Whereas, yeah.
Yeah, so you have a real opportunity for understanding the benchmarking at a deeper level, and then thereby improving your coaching skills.
Mm-hmm. If that's how it works, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Dawn. And Dirk?
For me, the one thing that stands out is what I mentioned right in the beginning with regard to support, and that is the ability to really be quite confrontational but do it in a playful way. That to me, coupled also with the in-depth probing, I think are the things that I would take away, that I would want to almost emulate and see what I can learn from that. What I found interesting is I had to listen to it about 3 times because I had a whole number of questions that under meta questions, and the more I listened to them, the more I realized that they were not meta questions, and that's also what triggered my question on Tuesday evening when I asked about the different types of questions, and that is a realization for me tonight that some of them sounded like meta questions, but they were not grounded. And I think that to me is I feel much better that I struggled with that one, because it wasn't necessarily because of the skills level on my side, but it was in terms of how it was asked.
Right.
And that's something that I missed. I missed the fact that it wasn't grounded. And I think for me that's an interesting learning. Not that I want to actually copy that. I want to copy the other two, and this one is something that I would actually note.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for sharing that. Are there any other questions before we wrap up about the benchmarking, or maybe, Dawn, you have some other questions outside of the benchmarking that you would like to ask?
No, there was one question that I'd written down around when he was coaching, he had his own body language, your semantic language, and I just wondered, it wasn't that it didn't match the client, he made it up, and then she repeated it. He followed his lead. So it was the other way around than what we're normally told. Curious to hear your feedback around that.
So a couple of things that I noticed that he did was that he matched semantic gestures that she made.
Yep.
Like when she spoke about bullshit, the bullshit getting in the way, and
yep.
before thinking and then snapping the finger. So he's matching the key semantic gestures, and then it really is all about, like, if you have enough support and if you're leading enough, then there, or if you have enough support and following enough, then there's also the possibility of starting to kind of lead out, and that's also kind of in a way of setting frames. Michael does that as well when he talks about, actually when he talks about setting frames, he has his own gesture. And so introducing new gestures can actually be very helpful because it's a state induction. It's part of coaching the body.
Okay. Because he did one, like once she identified the boy and she said she wanted to get rid of it or something, I can't remember her exact wording, and he said, so you want to get rid of it, and he took the voice that, from the position that she had it beside her head and moved it away from him. And then she followed that, but then she threw it away.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's leading, and he's actually starting to coach her body, and then she takes the lead again by throwing it out, you know, and that's just the dance. Like if you do that constantly, you need to have like all the support and following first before you can do that.
Mhm. Okay. Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. And by the way, based on your questions, Don, I'm not sure if benchmarking is that much of a struggle for you.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Because you're asking some very specific questions and very relevant questions.
So. Okay. Thank you.
Femke, and what about me and Mark?
That's a given.
I think we already established that, you know, you're perfect, and well, Mark apparently is really difficult.
No, you said he's on a different level.
Yeah, like I'm unable to really kind of pick up the magic that Mark does. No, I think we've got a lot of great insights today and great learning. So things to kind of incorporate. I would love you to go back to the. What I'll do is I'll send the real link to the second part so that you can listen to that as well. And then to kind of really kind of look at, okay, his meta questions, what is it specifically that they do and what function do they have? Even if they're not grounded, what would it do? So going back to that, and then we can have a discussion on Facebook about that.
Mm-hmm.
So any questions before we sign off?
Where would be the best place, where would be the best resource to go to get this definition of exactly what is a meta question, when is it grounded, when is it not? Is there anything you would recommend other than what we've already got?
I need to look that up.
Okay, thank you. If you think of anything, just put it on Facebook. I've got most of Michael's books. If there's anything that you can, any particular book that you think does a really good sort of description of what is a grounded, what is not grounded.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You mentioned the meta question has to go in and up as opposed to in and out. So I just like to
Down and out.
Sometimes
yeah.
It helps me just read that as well as experience that to get the real understanding.
Yeah, let me, because I don't think there's really a description of that. But essentially, like with grounding a meta question, is that it needs to be related to something. So if it's just a question of like, what do you believe about that? Then if I don't know what that means, then it's an ungrounded meta question. So what do you believe about someone raising their voice at you that creates panic? That would be a grounded meta question.
Okay.
But I'll look it up a bit more.
I think I get it. I mean, I think I get it.
Okay.
Yes, my benchmarking results in the next few weeks will confirm whether I do or I don't.
Yes, but I won't be able to pick it up, so.
That's right.
We'll have to get Dirk to do that. Dawn, did you have a question?
Yeah, I did. Did you send out another skill builder?
I did. I put it on Facebook.
Yes.
On Facebook? I can't find it. That's bizarre. Because I couldn't find any details either. I got the details around this is a coaching session.
Yeah, I think I sent an email out.
An email with the skill finder?
Yeah. No, an email with the time.
No, I've searched both, like, my work and my home email, and I can't find anything. It's bizarre.
Okay. Well, I'll resend it.
Okay, thanks. Apologies. Guys,
sure.
For being late.
That's okay.
Femke, can I just check? You've sent up to now two skills builders or three?
Great.
Two.
Because I only got two, yeah.
Two, yeah. One for week 1 to 3 and one for week 4 to 6.
Okay, well, I've got 4 to 6. I thought we had a third one.
Yeah, I thought I got a third one. I thought I got one this week, an email. I haven't opened it yet, but I thought I saw another one.
Yeah, that was the second.
It's a recent of the second one.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, Don, like, I sent it to don.voice@syngenta.com on March 17th. Skill Builder, okay. Week 4 to 6. That's what it's called.
I've got that one.
Okay.
I've got that one. Yep.
Okay.
I've got Skill Builder 1 to 3 and 4 to 6.
Perfect.
I thought we had a third.
Yeah.
I thought there was going to be a third one, so that's why I was asking the question.
Okay. Nope.
Okay. So that's fine. I've got that one.
Perfect.
Cool.
Okay. All right, well, thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everybody.
Oh, remember to do the benchmarking this week, okay?
Yeah.
Of Dirk. Is it Dirk Coaching Mark? Yeah.
That's great.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.